Welcome to the St. Louis Podcast. I'm your glorious host today, Eric Brown, sitting next to the one and only Chris Reisner. Today we have Christian Menny on the St. Louis Podcast, and we're going to get into the weeds with him and his business. But before we do, this is the St. Louis Podcast, where each and every Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, we drop an episode on all major podcasting, audio, and video platforms, where we meet with the most badass people and creators, talk about business, entrepreneurship, and current events. Let's jump into it, Christian. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah. Very good.
The eclipse was yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like a newfound, it's like we transported universes.
The new world.
Yeah. I drove down to St. Genevieve.
Okay.
And I saw so many people hating on the eclipse yesterday. Like, everyone's like, get back to work. I'm like, calm down.
Yeah.
It's one day. You can't
take one day off.
You can't enjoy yourself.
I took it off.
Yeah. And it was. So I got like 3 minutes of total, and it was it was amazing. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
It was like night came out, and the bugs like came to life, like all the mosquitoes and shit.
Yeah.
When we were driving back, like all the cows were eating as if it was like dinner time, and like the vibe at Chalmette Winery where I went, everyone was like cheering during it. It was really weird. I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I felt like I was plugged into something else. It was amazing. I said I like plugged into the universe's consciousness or something. It was weird, but it was amazing.
Did you definitely go watch an eclipse or go to a cult? What you just described is a cult experience.
You know what was funny is I think there was a cult that was getting married yesterday at Chalmette Winery. There was a bunch of people dressed as I would say it was like the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh God.
They were dressed as like elves and like swords. And there was like 100 of them at this wedding. And then there was like 5 people dressed in suits. I'm like, those people in suits must be so weirded out with whatever the hell's going on at this wedding. They were doing like hail.
Oh, dude, that sounds like a good time. What
dude,
are you talking about?
I was trying to figure out what kind of cult it was, but it was interesting. Anyways, off subject. All right. So we got, like I said, Christian Menny on the podcast, global real estate advisor at Dealman Sotheby's International Realty. So one of the first things we usually like to ask is, why'd you get into real estate? Well, out of all the many things that you could do, why real estate?
It's a question we get a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like now I got in before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got licensed in 2017, pretty much right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to college. I was a terrible high school student.
Sure.
Didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I cared, it was too late. So I had to figure something else out. So I, you know, after graduated high school, I did graduate from Ladue High, and had to do some work. So I worked in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at like Pickleman's in Clayton.
Yep.
I delivered sandwiches. I didn't make sandwiches, but I worked at the counter and delivered sandwiches. And then I worked at Five Star Burger. I was a bus boy and dishwasher.
Yep.
Worked at Smoothie King. You know, I just working. It's 18, 19, you know, so kind of got some experience in the service industry. I mean, it wasn't great, but
sure.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, it's good. I'm glad I did it because, you know, so I know when I go into places and I can relate to the, you know, people that work in restaurants or whatever.
Anyone that's never worked a food job, I'm like,
yeah,
you have no idea.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know.
No, so, you know, it's. I try to be a fair tipper and just take it because, you know, they're not getting paid a ton.
No.
But they're doing the work that we need it, you
mm-hmm.
know, essentially. So they're pretty underappreciated. So I try to be nice to all of them. And again, I can relate to that. And I was delivering sandwiches for Pickleman's to Dealman Sotheby's office
mm-hmm.
when I was 19. Someone in the office was ordering it every day. I forget who it was. I think it was.
What sandwich?
I don't remember the sandwich. I don't remember the sandwich.
Okay.
But they've renovated the office since. But they used to have like the front room is now it's all open. But like before they renovated it, they just had this kind of you know foyer or whatever, just
mm-hmm.
kind of front like you know where the receptionist was,
sure.
separated from the rest.
Yep.
But they had all these pamphlets, these printed flyers for all the Sotheby's listings around the world, like the big listings,
mm-hmm.
multi-million up to like, you know, so Sotheby's is in, you know, it was really an auctioneer company. It's founded in London, like 1744.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now it's also real estate. So, but it's, you know, we sell high end real estate, cars, automobiles, art, jewelry. I mean, like multi-million, like the expensive stuff.
Yep.
A lot of times we go through Sotheby's auction, whether it's like a Ferrari that's worth several million or like a Van Gogh painting or whatever, the Hope Diamond. Or, you know, I was showing Caribbean villas in January in St. Barth's. They were all Sotheby's listings. So they were, the average price was like 9 or 10 million for like a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom villa. I mean, they're expensive.
So how would you get that listing though?
So I was representing the buyer in that scenario. So I've got a friend of mine who does very well, obviously.
Sure,
He owns a big house in Ladue. And, you know, he wanted to go down. He was down in St. Barth's for a month. I joined him for 8 days. And he's like, I want to look at some villas down here. Like, I want to, you know, he'd not even been there yet, but man, it's the best place I've ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there's a better place anywhere. I mean, it's very expensive, but that's stunning, stunning Caribbean temperature and climate is 80 to 82 degrees every day of the year, and like sunny.
That sounds amazing.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's like we were there in the worst week in January, like mid-January, and it was like it was freezing here, and it's just like the water was even warmer than the air. The water was like 84 85.
Yeah,
it was perfection. Beautiful beaches, but like the place also has, it's a French island, so it has mainly French people. It's very cultured. There's like Michelin star restaurants everywhere. They have like high-end shopping. You know, all the designers are on this downtown section. You have like 250-foot yachts everywhere. It's really, really high-end bougie place. And 70% of the listings in the island are Sotheby's listings. So it's that is a real international presence. You know, it's like this, the only company in St. Louis that's all over the world as far as residential real estate. It's really the only one.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other high-end brokerages that are our competitors here in St. Louis, but they have no credibility on the international scale. They just don't. No one knows who they are. But every billionaire knows what Sotheby's is because they've probably done a transaction through Sotheby's, or they've at least seen them, whether it's, again, through art, collecting, cars, real estate, whatever it is. It is just a very trusted brand. And even just here in our Clayton office, some of the best realtors in St. Louis, and everyone knows what they're talking about. We're very professional. Well, I try to be, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But overall, you know, I'm one of the youngest. I'm probably the youngest person in the office.
Okay.
So it's a little bit older, but more experienced, and yeah, it's a great brand. So that was where I started. Like I said, I was delivering sandwiches. I kept looking through these pamphlets of villas, you know, in $50 million properties all over the world. I'm like, you know, I was delivering sandwiches, and nothing against those jobs. Everyone has to start somewhere, and you got to make some money. I respect anyone that's working, right? You're employed, you're doing something. I find that
there's a ton of people that aren't doing anything.
Exactly. So I think if you have a job, that's very respectable, and I treat everyone the same.
Yep.
So I really do. I'm a big believer in that. The saying, janitor to CEO, you treat everyone the same. So I really try to, and you know, as if they're myself. So. But I remember I was looking through these flyers. Whoever this was, I think it was this guy in my office, Ted. I swear it was him, but we're good friends now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It made me, I was like, I should be, I was like, I could sell this. I could sell these properties, right? So, and here I am like 7 years later, and I was showing properties in like the most exclusive island in the world. I mean, so I got to do that. We haven't closed anything yet on that client hasn't picked it out yet. So, but he will. And just the fact that I can do that, and I was just down in Rosemary Beach with my girlfriend, and again, there are several Sotheby's offices right on that 38th strip.
Yep.
And again, the average sale price down there was like $7 million. So it's, you know, very expensive real estate. Not that we don't just do expensive real estate.
Sure.
Anyone that's, you know, that wants to work with me, I'll work with. You know, if they are, you know, motivated to buy or sell, like I can get it done.
Sure.
So it's not just, I say high end, but it's more about like high end service.
The brand behind it is
correct.
Astounding compared to, I don't know a similar brand in real estate.
There's not.
Yeah.
I mean, not. There's a Barnes International Realty is probably our biggest competitor. There's not. They're not even. In
yeah,
St. Louis.
I was about to say they're not here.
They're not in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a few, and I don't want to throw. I'm not even going to say the other brands just because I'm not trying to talk down on anyone.
Sure.
So
sure,
but there's really no one that carries the same weight. We have one big competitor that does just as well as us, and they've taken some of our agents to their brand, which is in Ladue. And They're huge in Ladue, but that's it.
Yep.
No one in Miami knows who they are. No one.
St. Louis is
else.
Weird. It's like it the is. Sotheby's name doesn't draw as much
it's
here.
Not, well, it's because we have a couple of the local boutiques that do very well.
Yes.
So, but yeah, anywhere else you go, anywhere you go, you're going to find a Sotheby's office.
Well, that's how I originally knew them through auctioneering. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't remember when it was, like 2014, 2015, kind of when I was starting to build Vi. One of the accounts that I followed on YouTube was the Sotheby's. That's when they started on YouTube showing like the home walkthroughs.
Sure.
And there was like 10 big channels that like every day would post a new video of like a $10 million house, $20, $50 million right. house. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when I figured out Sotheby's was in real estate as well. I was like, right. I had no idea.
Right. And who doesn't like that stuff, right? Everyone likes real estate.
100%.
I mean, everyone wants to own a big house or a nice house, whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be big.
Yep.
You know, I think, but you can have a nice little house in a good location. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants that. Everyone wants to have their own space, you know, whether it's an actual house or a condo or whatever it is. Like, I have a little house in the hill. It's tiny.
Yep.
My house is like 750 square feet. It's a one bedroom, one bathroom. I love it.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, I have my own private backyard. It's fenced in. I have my brand new patio. It's very private. To get that in the city is hard. And the hill is very safe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right in the middle. I mean, I could not be like, I can walk to 20 restaurants. I can walk to 2 cafes, 3 Italian grocery stores, 3 Italian bakeries, 3 Italian delis. I mean, I'm like, Milo's is like 300 feet from me.
Yep.
You know, St. Ambrose Church and the Piazza Emo's like right down the street. And there's a gelato place. I've never shown a more walkable house in St. Louis than my own. And it was cheap. I mean, I got a good deal. You know, my house is worth less than $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't sell it for less than that. But, you know, it's just the fact of the matter is I took, you know, it's not super nice. I'm going to renovate it at some point.
Sure.
It's fine. It's functional. I'm more interested in traveling and experiencing things. I love nice things. I guess eventually I will renovate it. But
so what about maintenance? What do? Are you a handy guy? Can you fix shit? Or so what do? You got a friend?
Yeah, I know guys. You know, I have huge respect for contractors.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, like my cousin, I was with yesterday. We viewed the eclipse. We went down to Lesterville, Missouri.
Okay.
Another friend of mine owns 40 acres right by the Black River. It's a stunning property. It's like this
Black
home.
River's awesome.
Yeah,
so float.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's where all the, like the float trips.
Yeah,
are.
Yeah,
well, Black
right
River's
there.
Cold water too. It's spring water. So it's great when it's hot out.
Yeah, I was gonna say when it's in July or June,
oh my
July
God.
Is perfect.
Yes.
So his property is stunning. It's like this valley and it's perfect.
Do you guys look for morels?
Those are the mushrooms?
Yeah.
His mom does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
His parents showed up. Like, his parents are so cool.
Yeah.
Not my cousin, but my friend Devin, who his family they own the property, and it's like. So he's like, yeah, come. It went right through. The totality went right through us. So
yep.
We got like 4 minutes. It was very, very cool. I have pictures and video. Yeah, and it was a great experience. I thought, you know, again, next time's 21 years from now. It's like,
well, the next time that total, I actually have it.
I think
on
it's like
here.
200 years for totality
for
again in U.S.
For yeah,
or
it's,
Missouri.
Or something. We won't see totality. I think there might be. One in like 40 years from now, but you have to drive. Like it's not going to be anywhere near Missouri.
This was 2 hours from St. Louis. So
getting back last night?
It took a little bit of traffic. So it should have taken 2 hours. Took like 2.5 or two. You know, it wasn't
that's not bad.
It wasn't that bad.
There's a lot of people that sat for a long time.
We knew where to go. And luckily, I had a private. If people should have gone, the Johnson Shuttons was right through totality, and they didn't look like there were that many people there. So I don't know why more people didn't go there. That place is super cool.
Yeah,
that's right next to his property.
Yeah, Johnson Shuttons is awesome.
He's like 10 minutes from the Shuttons, but his property is like 40 acres. It's like this valley. It's stunning, like Missouri nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like so, he's got a spring right in the middle that has a pump that we could drink out of.
Hell yeah!
And he's got like they do have electricity, and they have a pavilion, concrete pad. It's like they have a stovetop and a refrigerator. They have an outhouse. And they have a couple RVs there, so it's like I don't know, glamping.
Sure,
it's a little
sure.
Bit, they have the amenities there.
Sure,
they kind of have a shower too. It's you have to like heat the water up, but you know, so it's a great spot. And we just we went down there and did that. But what was I saying? I was talking about that.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah.
When you got licensed,
yeah.
Did you know that you wanted to go into international realty, or were you just kind
of... No, well, I was like those pamphlets, and I was 19, and I was like, I could sell these. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, that's why I just started envisioning myself doing that. So I started looking into it and realized that maybe I should sell real estate. I talked to my parents about it. They're like, both my parents are in sales, so they're like you'd probably be pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I was 19, and then I just started looking into it, figured out what I need to do to get licensed. And then at 20, I really started, or that was 19, 20, whatever it was. I did the classes, and it's going to be like the full 6 months, but I got the license. I got licensed at 21. So I spent about a year trying, like studying and preparing and getting all that taken care of. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
Actually, you could do it in probably, if you could expedite, you can do it in like 3 to 4 weeks. I do think on a separate topic, I think it's way too easy to get licensed.
Yeah.
Way too easy. It's very saturated.
Yeah.
So you got about 15,000 realtors in St. Louis.
Isn't it 10% make 90%?
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, there's only probably 2,000 that actually make money.
Yeah.
So it's, 13,000 people that run around saying they're licensed realtors, but they don't sell any real estate. So I think that's an issue. If it were up to me, if you can't close 3 properties in a year, you're out.
Sure.
Like it's not a part-time job. Like, yeah. Why would you trust that to someone that just does it part-time?
Well, what if there's something for, like, say you're an investor and you want to flip or do whatever. You want to be able to do that stuff yourself, have the license, but you don't care. You're not selling your services. You're just doing it for yourself.
Sure.
There should almost be a different classification for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So maybe it should be like I would agree. So it's like, either a full-time or you just, if you're trying to just buy it and sell it, your own properties. And you can sell your own properties for sale by owner. You don't need to be like, and technically you can buy without using a realtor.
Yeah.
We don't recommend that. A lot that goes into it. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden you're negotiating terms and inspections and appraisal and people don't realize what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really cost, a buyer's agency for now doesn't really cost anything, but that could be changing here pretty soon.
I was about to say, so what do you think about the lawsuit? What do you think?
I think it's going to weed out all the people that aren't good at it.
Is it?
So I think it's a good thing.
Do you think it's a good thing? Yeah.
I want to see the number of realtors drop less than half. I want to see it be like 5,000 or 6,000.
Yeah.
There should not be 15. Every one
well,
of
how
their,
many properties sell in St. Louis? Like
way
St.
less
Louis,
than that.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I think there's like 800 to 1,000 listings in St. Louis right now. Like,
right.
It's way less than the amount of realtors we have. And
so 90% aren't doing anything right now.
So you actually said it correctly. 10% sell 90% of the properties in a year.
Yeah.
So you have, and less than that make, the ones who make really good money, you're talking the top 5%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally like there's probably 1,000 realtors that make good money. We'll call that. 60,000 plus in St. Louis or how many make six figures? Maybe the top 500.
Yeah.
Maybe top 700, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How many realtors make a ton, like 500K plus in St. Louis? Like 50.
Yeah.
Maybe not even, there's maybe one realtor a year that maybe cracks a million. Literally who's the best realtor in town, so you have to sell 50 plus million on your own to probably make $1 million in commission. So in St. Louis, that doesn't happen very often. There's only a few of the people that have ever cracked that number. So it's just,
The market's just not there.
No, there's not enough inventory. Rates are higher than they were a few years ago.
Yeah.
Historically, they're not super high, but when you're talking about the inflation that we're dealing with.
I hate that historically part. Yeah. It's like historically it's not – sure, it's not high, but then, people always bring back the insurance rate – or, excuse me, interest rates of, like, the 80s. It's like – but borrowing money back then made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
The prices are through the roof now.
Yeah.
So it's like what you were to borrow back then made a lot more sense for the amount that you were actually getting versus now.
Because
I'm stuck renting essentially right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy. But also, you look at properties, it's like – shit's so expensive, even for just like something small.
Yeah.
And if you want something even affordable, then it's like, it shouldn't even be listed as a home. This thing's so falling apart. Like the amount I'd look probably once a week just to like take a look at listings and things like that. And it's been pretty, pretty poor.
Yes. It can be demoralizing.
Yeah.
For the average, how old are you?
30.
Okay. So yeah, our age bracket, I'm 28.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks for us.
Yeah.
I
wish I would have known to buy in 2021.
Right.
Because
the rates were that low, right? But you didn't know any better.
No.
Most people didn't. That was as low as it's probably ever going to be. And that's kind of part of the issue because also we have all these older people they have that 3% rate or even less, 2.5.
Yep.
And they're like, why the hell would we go anywhere? We don't, first of all, we have to find somewhere to go,
mm-hmm.
which is expensive. Now you'll break your record with your sale too, but you got to find somewhere first.
Correct.
And your rate right now is 6 or 7%. So the older people that don't need to go anywhere are like, why would we go anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes the younger generations are kind of just screwed.
Yep.
I try to be optimistic about it, but things are looking pretty bleak. The inflation that we've seen across the board in the last 4 years has changed everything. So it's just not what it used to be.
I feel like I do know a lot of homeowners in our age bracket, though, but they're buying smaller properties.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people...
They're also just banking on interest rates hopefully going down.
True.
Because I just don't know. But also, rent's really fucking high, too.
Yeah.
So...
But rent has followed this inflation rate since, you know, 2020, give or take.
Yeah.
Where
but you don't have insurance for rent.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I'm always like, you know, with buying a house, people are like, you got to look at it as like, you know, rent, you're not getting anything back, right? You're not building equity X, Y, and Z. But also when you have a home, here are things I don't have to worry about. Taxes at the end of the year.
Right.
You know, upkeep of literally anything.
Everything.
Insurance. Right. You know, renter's insurance is like 15 a month
right.
to protect a shitload of property.
Right.
So and then,
don't
you know,
have to
obviously
worry about a hailstorm taking out your roof.
Yeah. I mean, you got stuff that's expensive.
Out.
And then on top of that, you know, when you buy or sell, right, 6% is then gone. So it's like when you add up, I don't know, you add up the amount of money at the end of, say, 30 years, how much you've spent on the house. I'd really like to know how much money these people are actually making. Like when you look at it, because with the money that you spend over those 30 years and everything else, if you were to just be renting, really, where would you have ended up versus just putting that stuff in the stock market?
Right. Well, historically, the people that own, you're talking about a 30 year difference.
Yeah.
I mean, people that bought 30 years ago are doing quite well.
Yeah.
So,
especially with the price change, right?
Yeah. So, again, our parents are banking
yes.
right now. And good for them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not moving, most of them. So that's, again, part of the issue.
I don't know anyone moving.
Yeah,
all my parents are 65.
Yeah.
None of them are moving.
They all refinanced when...
They're fixing their houses.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting 30 grand decks on their fucking
house. And then for us to buy it, it's going to cost 700 grand.
Yes.
So it'll be even worse in a few years. So, you know, it's a perfect storm of rates are higher now. They were record low
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years ago. And that, or two, three, whatever it was, lack of inventory and inflation, again, across the board.
Yep.
It's the perfect storm. It's very difficult to buy a house now. I mean, I know a lot of people my age who have successfully bought, and that's incredible. I will say the majority of them either got a co-signature from a parent,
mm-hmm.
even gift of down payments from parents.
Yep.
It's very common.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking probably the majority.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't like using percentages because mm-hmm. I can't verify that.
Sure.
But it's a lot. So if you can't get a co-signature, you need very good credit. You need 30K plus saved up. You could probably get away with 15 to 20K saved up for a smaller property. But I like to bump that number up just for you need down payment, you need closing costs, you need fees, mm-hmm. you know, the realtor fees or, you know, and then you want some money to buy some new furniture or make a few repairs right off the bat.
Yeah.
So like a $10,000 cushion just for... You know, potential repair, you know, system repairs or a few pieces of furniture, you know, probably need 15 to 20K
mm-hmm.
at least
mm-hmm.
right off the bat. Like, not to mention good credit.
Yep.
And you need a job where you're making, nowadays, you got to make 60K plus. I mean, you got to be making good money.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, can you survive in St. Louis not making that much money? Yeah, absolutely, you can.
You even say 60K, and I'm like, fuck.
I know.
It's not enough.
I know. Yeah. Nowadays, it doesn't seem like that much, but
no.
You know, if you're single and you've got a good little spot in the Midwest, that's fair money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not gonna say it's
I mean, even with rent prices, yeah, 60K as a single person, that's rough.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's more than average.
Unless
so,
you got a good
I mean, most people have deal. Roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost right. Everyone I know that doesn't own a house has a roommate.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Right. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
So I luckily got into a spot where you know, I have no neighbors and I have no roommates and I'm in the industry, but I worked really hard to get that spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, I knew I wanted to be on the Hill and I was there every day, not every day, but several times a week, you know, just handed out my cards. I dressed very well.
Yep.
Everyone knew who I was. I made that very clear. So I like to do that and just makes me stand out. So Yeah, I put in the legwork and built a relationship. Everyone was like, oh, you need to know someone, or you need to be Italian, or you need a ton of money cash, mm-hmm. right? But so what I do, I met someone and I built a relationship, and then that person offered something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have to do. You have to literally go get it.
Yep.
You know, I didn't have any connections. You know, I come from a good family, but it's not like I was born with, I wouldn't describe my, you know, I'm new money for sure.
Sure.
You know, just everything I've got, it's pretty, you know, my parents supported me for sure, but it's not like, you know, they have a lot of money by any means.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I had to build all my connections. I think I've done a pretty good job doing so far. But again, real estate takes time. Same with, and the thing is, we have to buy something small. And to be fair, our parents did that. They did start small, but things were different back then.
Yeah. But nothing small is being built anymore, though.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's like, I would love like a small, you know, two bed, even one bath. Fuck, yeah. I'll take one.
Yeah. You just need one bathroom.
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and I like brick houses. Mine's actually not brick, but. Yeah, you have to be in the city.
Yep.
I'm pushing St. Louis City hard. I mean, I like northern and south city neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
It's not still not cheap, but you can get a two-bedroom house for 200 grand, give or take.
Yeah.
I feel like now's a really good time to be going into the city because everybody's kind of like freaked out about the city and companies are moving out.
Yeah.
But it's really, I mean, if you look at the crime rates, it's actually going down. So
yeah, I mean.
Now's a good time to get involved and then your equity is going to go through the roof.
I mean, St. Louis City is great. I mean, downtown is a different story.
Yeah. I live downtown. I wouldn't live down there again.
No, I probably wouldn't live downtown. But if someone was like, I want to buy, you can buy a sweet loft for like 150 grand. Like, complete, it's sweet right on Wash Avenue.
Yeah, all those Airbnbs.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of the problem, right? Some of the buildings are managed very poorly. There's a couple guys that own quite a lot of these bigger buildings and they're terrible managers. They have bad reputations. They're being sued left and right. But overall,
what's the big one that's being sued that just gets shit talked left and right?
There's quite a few.
I forget. It's like Life. No, maybe it's not Life.
Yeah, I don't.
There's a big one that it just gets torn through the. They own the arcade, I think, loft downtown.
I think they just bought that. Oh, I don't remember the name of the building.
Anyways.
Yeah. There's some issues downtown. I mean, I know some people that love it. I was talking to a lady over the weekend that owns a house. The building's called The Syndicate. She's like, I love it. So, I mean, everyone's got, it's very subjective, right? Downtown St. Louis. It once was a thriving, glamorous city, probably 100 years ago.
Yep.
Everyone dressed up. You know, we have billionaires all over Forest Park. St. Louis was once one of these cities in the United States. Like it was like LA, New York, and St. Louis.
Yeah.
Right. Or just about.
Mm-hmm.
Things have taken a turn. But you know, there's lots of pros to being here. So it's, you know, it's my job to sell it. And I think it is a great place. I think for me, I find it is a fantastic home base. I want to travel more. Done it a couple times this year already. And it's like, that's what I envision myself doing the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years, just traveling and,
Well, you can get anywhere in the U.S. on 3 hours.
Yeah,
essentially.
Exactly. We're right in the middle of the country. But even it's just, we're talking about real estate prices, but compared to a lot of the country, we're relatively inexpensive.
True.
Relatively. Mm-hmm. You know, but even for us, it's starting to become very saturated and inflating a lot towards almost expensive.
Yeah.
Certainly for a first-time home buyer, they just came out with an article. Zillow was like, oh, St. Louis is... You know, the best place for a first-time home buyer. Yeah. That's not saying a lot.
Yeah, sure.
So that's all it's coming down to.
The best because everything sucks.
It's because everywhere else is insanely expensive.
Yes.
So here it is relatively inexpensive.
Can we ever expect a fall in home prices?
No.
Never. Why would
any prices come down ever?
I see some stuff that, like, it's come down maybe, you know, I see... Well, the other thing I will say, though, on Zillow is there are a lot of listings that are on there for, a while.
Yeah.
And their prices continue to drop. So
those are the houses you need to go for.
Right.
You need to try to find something that's been in the market for a while. It's usually got a problem or two. There's a reason why it hasn't sold.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, you can't expect perfection if you're not paying $1 million.
Sure.
Like, you have to accept that you're not going to have a perfect house. And your dream house shouldn't be your first house. Your first house won't be your dream house, per se.
Yeah.
It's just it's a building... You know, it's a building block,
yeah.
right? You just start with that. It increases over time because that's just what's been happening.
Yep.
right? You might take a dip here or there, but at the end of the day, the chart always goes like this, right? Dipped a little bit during 08, it still shot back up. So it's
like stocks, like over time, it always ends up, you end up up.
You end up up. Yeah, you just got to keep hold on to it, but you got to get in. You got to get in. So that's the challenge right now, right? So it is hard, and it can be very demoralizing.
I just have FOMO. I'm like, I want a house.
I know.
I just don't want to take care of all the shit that comes along with a house.
So get a small house.
Like,
if you saw my place, you'd be like, this is perfect. Okay. Like, most people that come to my house are like, you have a great spot. It's not big, but it's like...
Well, how many people could you have over? So you had a party.
It's all about having an outdoor space.
Yes.
So okay. I had my sister's 30th birthday party in my backyard. We had like 30 people over.
Nice. Okay.
I did. Yeah. So even in the layout is like, it's like living room, kitchen is like one room with a little island. Mm-hmm. And then I have the hallways to the left, the big bathroom. And then I have my bedroom with the washer and dryer. It's in the way back. So it's like I can the layout means I can host, but it has to be nice out.
Sure.
So it's like, because I have a nice big patio. I got a nice piece of furniture on Facebook Marketplace. That's where you buy nice furniture. Facebook Marketplace.
People dump furniture on Facebook
Marketplace.
They have
to, because they have to move or something. Yeah. So it's like, you just got to be quick, right? So I got this really nice wrought iron set that I paid $500 for, that some old lady was like, I paid $6,000 for it. So
outdoor furniture is crazy expensive. It makes no sense.
You got to get it used.
Yeah.
I mean, or else you're going to spend $5,000 to $6,000 or something crazy. So I got something, I got it. So, and then I've got a couple other tables and chairs, and I have a great outdoor space. I think that's huge. I can only use it half the year. Obviously it just can't be cold. So but I think that's what it's all about. If you can have a little house with a good outdoor space, I think you're golden. So for me, again, my actual cost of living is not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me the room to travel, which is what I want to do. So yep. That's why I saw St. Louis. It's like, even if you don't love it, like, I don't know, I don't think our nightlife's great.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big partier anyways. So I'm more interested in getting out of town when I can.
Yeah.
So again, so for me, it's a good home base. My family's here. It's a great place to raise kids. We have fantastic schools, hospitals, university. You know, WashU is stunning. Yeah. WashU is stunning.
Yep.
You know, so we have so many pros. You know, the sports teams are all great. You know, museums, whatever. There's plenty to do in St. Louis.
But I think it just really comes down to the people in charge.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks.
It does. Yeah. They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
And it's a self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of money here. It's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Going to Clayton or Ladue or Town and Country, and there's many, many, many multimillionaires, and there's big companies here. And
yep.
But you know what they do? They use it as a home base.
So yeah. Well, I say all the time, I'm like, how are there so many big houses in St. Louis? Where are all these rich people working at? And, yeah.
Some of them inherited it.
Yeah.
Some of them started their own companies. Some of them are doctors, lawyers, whatever.
Just some people don't realize how much money is in St.
Louis.
St. Louis
has a lot of money.
Yeah.
But those people in Clayton and Ladue, all those other nice areas,
mm-hmm.
they have multi-million-dollar houses, which would cost considerably more.
Yeah.
In Florida, California, New York, whatever. So what do? They travel.
Yep.
Same thing, just on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
They like you know, Ladue as a home base because it is nice. But then in the winter when it gets crappy here, they can just jet out of here.
Yep.
So it's, even for them, it makes more fiscal sense to own in St. Louis and just kind of have the excess money to travel.
Sure.
So again, that's my selling point. Even again,
that's the best selling point I've heard of St. Louis.
Yeah.
No one's ever said
the best place to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's a fantastic home base.
Yeah.
And we have four seasons. I don't like winter. I don't think most people do here, but
no, I try and go skiing. I try and get out.
Yeah,
of here.
Go ski or you can get to a beach, whatever.
Or go to warm weather.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. So, but it's like, you know, winter's not fun here. Things die down. Not that it's absolutely wild, even when it's warm out, but you know, we've got some decent places.
Hey there, St. Louis podcast listeners. We've got some exciting news from our sponsor, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Lee. Mark Lee of Farmers Insurance is recruiting agency owners here in St. Louis.
That's right, Garrett, and everyone knows what Farmers Insurance is, and if they don't, they will now.
Yes, it's kind of a household name. That said, as many of you know, a large part of our audience is made up of badass business owners, entrepreneurs, and top producing sales professionals with an open mind like yourself. Farmers Insurance is currently searching for driven individuals who aspire to own their own business or already own their own business and want to add another income stream to join the Farmers Insurance brand and own their own insurance agency.
This is a stellar opportunity to build your own insurance agency from scratch, take over an existing agency, or if you're just a slow roller, we know you, the guys out there and ladies, get paid to train under an existing successful agency owner before starting your own.
Holy shit, Eric. That means that whether you have experience as a business owner or you've never heard the word business before in your life, there's a pathway to owning your own business through Farmers Insurance Agency led by Mark Lee.
That's right. You can become a Farmers Insurance business owner even if you've been homeless in the past, just like you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've ever dreamt of being your own boss, building a team under a reputable brand, and making a difference in your community by offering top-tier auto, home, and commercial insurance to consumers and businesses in your area, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the godlike man himself, Mark Lee, has the perfect opportunity for you.
Visit insurancecareerstl.com to speak with Mark Lee, the district manager of Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, to become a Farmers Insurance agency owner today.
Did you hear that, St. Louis? Go visit insurancecareerstl.com. Insurancecareerstl.com. That is I-N-S-U-R-A-N-C-E. Career, C-A-R-E-E-R-S-T-L.com.
To become a business owner today, again, one more time, visit insurancecareerstl, as in St. Louis, .com today. Right now, this second, or reach out to us at stlouispodcast.com and we'll introduce you to Mark Lee ourselves. And I promise he won't spell out insurance and career to you.
Now back to the show.
You know, I don't want to bring up the 2020 era, but that knocked out. I don't even use the words. I refuse to. Please don't say it.
Sure.
I don't want to talk about that topic.
Sure.
So that is the reason
that's
why.
That's fair. We've beat that topic to death.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sure we're all on the same page.
Yep. Yeah, that didn't help St. Louis.
Correct.
It really damaged our nightlife. It damaged our real estate market. It damaged our restaurants. It was very, very bad. And I would again point at the leader at the time of St. Louis County who shut down many places.
I think he's still in charge.
He is in charge. Yeah. So some people thought that he was a good guy to reelect. Yeah. So
insane.
It wasn't me. yeah. So it's, but you know, it's made things difficult. But we're seeing some stuff reviving, and the soccer stadium helped, and you've got developing going on. Mm-hmm. Again, there is money here. There are big companies here. So
there's a lot of entrepreneurs in St. Louis.
There are.
Just starters, people that want to start like restaurants and stuff. There's new ones popping up all the time.
Yeah.
Which is astounding to me, working in a restaurant. I'm like, that's the last thing I would want to open right now.
That's the labor, finding
the people to work, the food. I was just like, I can't.
St. Louis likes food, though.
We all like food.
We do have some good restaurants.
We do.
You know, I would say stuff can be very improved. I mean, especially from a service standpoint, but people don't want to work, though. That's the thing. And it's, you know, but we need more people working. And again, As far as the real estate, why I got into it, and I see myself do more international things. But I view St. Louis being kind of my bread and butter. I just know it very well. I've been here my whole life.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take some of the wealthier clientele I have, and, you know, if they want to go down to Florida and buy real estate down there, I'll go with them. I'll show them properties. I will go in the Caribbean. I'll go with them. If they want to go to Europe, I'll go with them. I'll go wherever they want to go. So that's kind of going to be part of what I want to do, is just helping them find their secondary or thirdary houses.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's the 1%.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
We got to stand from my standpoint, being a realtor, because of the struggle of the first time home buyers. I thought, how could I adapt to my business? Well, my first house I sold was $1.6 million. I was 21.
Yeah, I'm sure that commission check you were like,
solid.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. it kind of inflated my. I was a little pretty arrogant.
Sure.
After that, but it
100%,
didn't. I thought it was going to lead to so much more. I was like, I'm going to start. You know, at 21, 22, I was like, I'm going to start selling multi-million-dollar houses left and right.
Yeah.
It didn't pan out that way.
Sure.
There's just so much competition in that higher end market in St. Louis. Those realtors have been selling for decades, Everyone knows who they are. You know, Ledoux, Town & Country, and Clayton are sold by the same realtors.
Yep.
And it's hard to compete with someone that sold 300 houses in those neighborhoods. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, why wouldn't they? So they keep getting used and used and used. Some of them come from real estate families. Some of them come from money. There's a few of them that kind of got their way in there, and it's a tough market to get into. That is my goal. But again, it's just there's just so many in that market. So it's
all the ones I know that are selling those homes are they're all 50.
Yeah, they're 50. All 50. They're 50 plus.
50 plus.
Actually, yeah. Most of them are women too.
Yeah.
So most of the luxury realtors in St. Louis are women.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably twice my age.
Yeah.
But if they're selling that much, they're legit. They're very professional. They know what they're doing. Trust me, I know who they all are.
Yeah.
They're no joke.
Yeah.
But St. Louis is a unique market to where women kind of run the show.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case in Miami or LA even. But there's more men
sure.
that are in those markets. Whereas in St. Louis, really, yeah, for whatever reason, the women run the show here. So that's not talked about a lot either.
Yeah.
It is a female dominated market, which is a great thing, but it's just again, they're much more experienced than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And they know a lot more people.
Mm.
They're more connected. That will change in time.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, some of them are going to retire soon. There's a few guys that are in that high-end market. They're definitely going to retire soon. So I'm just putting my mark in planting seeds, you know. So I've got good relationships with people. And a lot of my friends are older. And I like to surround myself with people that are successful and that, you know, have big goals. And I find myself hanging out with older people a little bit more often.
Sure.
A lot of the guys I hang out with are in their 40s.
Mm.
But I learn a lot from being around them, and we just gel similar mindsets. It's not like I only hang out with ultra successful people. But
sure.
I just try to be, you know, surround myself with people who I can benefit being around. You know, just people I can learn from.
Yeah.
And there's people my age I can learn from, no doubt about it. You know what I mean?
You're the smartest guy in the room. You're in the wrong room.
Exactly. I try to be the stupidest guy
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, not you know what I mean, though.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So I want to be able to learn.
Yes.
But you also have to be able to provide value. Because why would these guys want to hang out with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm 28 and whatever. It's like, you know what? I put in a lot of effort. You know, I've made connections. I know people. It's taken years. I'd say I'm finally at the age where stuff's starting to work.
Yeah.
You know, probably in the last 6 months, I've seen a turnaround in my life. I started a deal in Sotheby's, right? As, again, back to that original topic. I finally got my license. I joined there. Andy Dielman happened to go to high school with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he's super nice, almost too nice.
He's like,
you know, Drew and Sydney, you know. And he let me join. I hadn't sold a house yet. I ended up selling a $1.63 million house mm-hmm. right off the bat. But still, I was so inexperienced and just, I was still young. So
yeah.
I still, you know, I was 21, 22.
Yep. Did you buy a nice car immediately?
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
a Honda Accord. It's kind of souped up.
Sure, sure.
I mean, for what I had.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, I spent a lot. I bought some suits. I bought a nice watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, but stuff that I needed to build a wardrobe, and that's kind of worked out for me. I've kind of built that over time, and I like dressing up. I just think it's a good way to stand out.
Yeah,
me personally, I enjoy it.
I was going to ask you about that because I've essentially worn a suit, maybe a little bit less over the last couple of months, but I was a guy 4 or 5 days a week, and what I've noticed to a lot of people in St. Louis, they have, and maybe this is just a thing, they have a notion where for the most of the time, if you're in a suit, they don't think of you as a boss.
Hmm.
For whatever reason, there's now this notion that bosses wear fucking t-shirts or
they're very casual.
The polos that are, you know, tucked in. And what I think people fail to realize is that there's a big difference between a financial advisor that goes to Men's Warehouse versus, you know, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually can put together a fucking outfit
right.
and make themselves stand out.
Sure.
And I don't think people understand that. Because I just had this conversation actually on Friday. I was at a gala event. And he's like, no one wears suits anymore.
Right.
And I was like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not.
Yeah.
I was like, do you want to work for a CEO that walks into the office in like sweatpants and a fucking t-shirt and looks like they just rolled out of bed? Or someone that takes the time to put themselves together when they come into the office.
Right.
What would you rather work for?
I would work for guys put together.
Yeah, same.
I feel like it all came down to like tech billionaires.
Yeah,
Mark Zuckerberg did it.
All of a sudden, everyone looks at Bezos and all of these guys. Yeah,
as if they're very casual.
Yeah, as if that somehow you dress, you know, you dress like them, and then you're going to be the next tech billionaire.
But most business is built around connections and sales and being in the community and everything. Tech is not. Like, you don't need to be out there actually like making those connections as much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like Facebook just blew up. Like they weren't out there selling it every day, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a completely different.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, you know, there's
mindset and look.
Correct. And there's obviously there's a couple of schools of thought, right? So, and mine's obviously different than probably the average in St. Louis, right? I see a lot in social media will push, you know, you see all these like motivational speakers and guys and people are like, oh, you know, the rich people actually are super casual, or like they will never be flashy, or they'll never dress up, or they want to pretend like they're not rich or whatever. And you probably have a percentage of them that do that. But, you know, I don't know. For me, it's just standing, you know, I just thought in the beginning, I remember my first meeting at Dealman Sotheby's for the interview. I didn't even have a suit. I had a little bit of money and I went to Neiman Marcus and I talked to their guy. This guy is Jeff. And he's like, I have a big interview in like 2 days. I'm like, I need like a nice outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm willing to spend a couple $1,000. Like, I need a nice outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got you, dude. And he, you know, bought this off the rack theory suit. He put me a nice pair of Allen Edmonds, a nice belt, tie, shirt, you know, gray suit. It was fit. They tailored it there for me. You know, it was a good look. I felt fantastic. I was 21. I was like, I never put on a suit.
Yeah.
I was like a nice suit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between Men's Warehouse and then getting like a nice brand designer that's fitted.
Yep.
And I did it and I wore that, you know, I got the job obviously. And I went to the first Tuesday morning meeting and I noticed, and I was surrounded by all-star realtors and I'm 21, hadn't sold a house yet. And I was like, they're all dressed super well. People at our company dress fairly well. Not all of them, but the ones that sell a lot all dress pretty well.
Yeah.
They just do.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that immediately. I'm like, I need more clothes.
Well, if you're selling $1 million house.
Yeah. Once you're in that market,
you show up in a, you know, t-shirt. It's like, what the
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, who would you hire? Or, you know, hire someone that's got a put together outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to figure it out. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a year. It's going to take years to be able to build it. You got to, you know, so I took that first suit and I was like, I need more. Because when I walked in this office, I was like, I can't wear the same suit every week.
Yep.
You kind of can, though. If you have one or two nice suits, if you have a handful of shirts, handful of ties and squares and shoes, you can mix it. You can take one nice suit and you really can kind of wear it every day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's what they did. Yep. I mean, talk about back 100 years ago, 1920s, when everyone in St. Louis wore a suit.
Yep.
All the men were wearing suits. They probably only owned one or two.
They had one super well-fitted suit.
Right. One or two, and they wore it just about every day.
Probably maybe one extra pair of pants. But the jacket.
Yeah, they wore it every day. So that's fine. So you actually can do that. Mm-hmm. And I would respect someone that has one nice suit. And if they have to wear it every day, it's like, at least they're wearing a suit. You know, they're trying. You know, so it's, people say that all the time. It's like, oh, well, you can't, it's all so expensive. I'm like, well, everything's expensive now.
Yeah.
The guys that tell me, that complain to me, like, oh, you know, it's too expensive to wear a suit. It's like, well, those are the same guys that I see partying every weekend.
Sure.
They spend hundreds of dollars drinking alcohol and just going out. I'm like, if you didn't drink for 3 months and saved up all that money, you could buy a badass outfit.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you just don't want to stop doing that. So it's just priorities. And I like, you know, I love it. It's taking me time. And I remember I ended up buying a couple more from Neiman Marcus. Some of them were on sale. And as beginning the wardrobe, right? And I ended up meeting Dakota Grady at Cafe Napoli, like 7 years ago. He was wearing a salmon suit on the patio. I was like, this guy knows how to dress, right? So I asked him, I'm like, he's going to work at Savile Row, which is one of his biggest competitor now, and he's got his own company, right?
Mm.
And he's like, you know, I made this suit myself. He's like, come by. And I ended up making this tan suit with him, Zania suit. I mean, it was badass. And I spent $2,000.
Yeah.
But I remember I wore it, and things changed.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, women were looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I had Travis Noble, who's a big lawyer here, was like, he's like, dude, that suit's perfect.
Yeah.
He has all these amazing suits and cars, and he's very well known for being a very well-dressed man, right?
Yeah.
And I remember the night I wore that suit, like I like had this like gorgeous woman come up to me, and like we ended up dating. And I would say to the guys that don't want to do that, the girls will look at you differently if you dress up. I guarantee you that. Like, it will change who you are. It'll change the way people look at you. It's gonna, it just, it changed everything for me. So I made that one suit, And then all of a sudden I noticed immediately just what it did. And it was just like people started treating me differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time, you know, and I end up building, and I wanted more because like I want to chase that feeling of like just, you know, again, some people say the boss is not super casual. Maybe that's their version. Fine.
Yes.
I mean, there's different styles. And but at the end of the day, in St. Louis, you definitely have that that mindset where it's just very casual here. And
Dakota and us talked about it a couple months ago. We're like the fall of society.
Always aligns with
people
being more casual.
Yeah, it kind of is. And it's just, I walk around and if I'm dressed up and now I have 10 custom suits and I've got, you know, a dozen nice, very nice pairs of shoes and I can put together outfits like nobody's business. I can go anywhere in the world and be one of the best dressed guys. I can go to London, Milan, Tokyo, Paris, anywhere in the world. I can absolutely compete with like Europeans and people that have tons of money. The custom suits he makes, if you have a good body, even if you don't have a good body, whatever, it's like you're just put together. It takes another level. It just takes you up. We were just down in St. Barth's with my client.
Yep.
And all the French people, they dress so well.
Yes.
No one's wearing sweatpants. Like not a single person. Every single girl there was wearing a sundress or something very nice. They weren't wearing Lululemon. They weren't wearing sweatpants. All the French guys dressed super well, and there was a pride being there. Just their culture. They take such pride. They're all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They're all tan. They're all happy. They all dress well. And there's an elevated sense of luxury and just chicness about that place. I imagine France is going to be very similar in general, where like the French cultures, they just know how to do it. They all, and like the food, the service, everything was just perfect. And like they all dress very well. And it's the culture.
It's weird that service is worse here.
Way worse.
When we tip.
Yeah.
Versus other countries that you get paid a salary. That's always something that's been odd to me. It's like, as a server, what's making you do a good job? It's like, because that's my job.
Right.
That's a weird mindset for like United States people to understand.
Yeah. Well, the French people, I found it when I was on that island, they took pride in their job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell they were proud to be there. Even if it was just a cafe or a lunch restaurant, it's like, now, mind you, we were in the Caribbean and the weather was perfect. It's a very nice place. So that would make sense where like they were very happy to be there.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
But we need to see that more in the people here. Even some of the nicer restaurants, I'll kind of criticize the service here. It's like if I'm gonna spend $100 on a meal in St. Louis, it better be delicious, extraordinary, and the service should be perfect.
Yes.
It should be perfect for that price point. And this is not the case for the most part.
What are some of your favorite spots?
I like Wright's Tavern.
Yeah.
In Clayton. So Louis and DeMond.
Yeah. Louis's great.
Those are great. Yeah. Those are two really good spots. I like Sado and Indo.
Yeah.
Sado's in the Hill. Indo's closer to Tower Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Same owner.
Some of the best sushi.
Yeah, those are the best. That's the best fish in town.
Yeah.
Nick Bonner's done a great job. I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's made fantastic atmospheres in those two restaurants. I would criticize the service in those places a little bit.
Sure.
Indo's a little bit. Sado could pick it up. I mean, it's a newer restaurant. Again, but for that price point, it should be perfect.
Yeah.
If I'm spending $100 on my meal, the service should be 5-star every single time.
Yes.
And I find myself going there and there's just bars missed a little bit. He can improve there. That's what I'd criticize. Wright's Tavern service is pretty spectacular. So is Louis. But again, the difference is, you know, I'll go out with my girlfriend and we dress very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we look around at some of these nicer restaurants and people are very casual. I'm like,
For
me, if I'm spending $100 plus, I'm going to dress up. I'm just, it's a special occasion. I don't do that every night.
Sure.
So I just think for me, if I'm going to go to a nice place, I take it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to enjoy the evening. And, you know, for me, that's just important. And again, when I go to nicer places, people just tend to dress up more.
Yes.
Like I said, when I was down on the French island, or you know, you go to Miami or LA or New York, there's a more elevated sense of fashion, and that kind of just trickles down to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big thing in St. Louis that needs to be improved. I think the guys in general need to step it up.
That's exactly what Dakota said.
Yeah,
he said the guys need to step it up.
If they knew, if every guy,
so you just drive around, even Clayton at lunch. It's like it's
not what it used to be.
It's kind of depressing.
It's pretty pathetic.
And like the level of disheveledness on some of these guys, it's astounding.
It is.
It's like you just woke out of bed. Do you care?
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Or you go to an airport. Lambert's dreadful.
How do you fly? You fly with the suit on?
Absolutely.
Do you?
And I fly first class.
Yeah.
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 And I look everyone else and I go, that's why you're not flying first class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say that. That sounds super snobby.
Do you take your jacket off?
Nah.
No?
No. I mean, I'll wear a suit. I'll wear a suit up there. And I just, the first class thing's new.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do it, it's hard to go back.
Yeah.
And international first class is very expensive. So I'm not saying I'll always do it, but once you get that taste, it is hard. It's a different mindset. And all of a sudden I was passing out business cards to people up in the front, and it's like, it's kind of like, you know, I've never even been to an NBA game. But if you get those courtside seats, they're so expensive. But the people you can meet hanging out in those clubs, that's where the level's taken up. You know, and it's like, same as that down the island I was at, the French island, like everyone there was someone. And like everyone there had class, they dressed well. It was just, there was no riffraff, right? So that, but they typically dress for, and if they're not wearing a suit, they're very clean, at the very least. You know, they're not disheveled, all fits well. That is very important. But I like to wear the suits, man. And it does a lot for me. It's made me stand out. You know, it's a lot of the guys that don't dress up, they knew the girls that I talk to and hang out with.
Yeah, maybe they would.
They'd probably take it up a notch because, you know, my girlfriend's stunning.
Sure.
And I promise you, she initially was attracted to me because she saw me in a suit. Mm-hmm. She's like, who are you? You know, and it started the conversation. And that, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Right? You start the conversation. You want someone to come up to you or vice, or they say, oh my, like, you know, whatever about your outfit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it starts conversations. It helps you meet people. And yeah, I love it too.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to impress anyone per se. Like that's not what it's about. But it's just become who I am.
Yeah.
So it's now I can wear a suit on a Tuesday, and it's just, you know, other people wouldn't dare do that. They're like, why are you wearing a suit? I'm like, dude, you should ask yourself, you know, why aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why aren't you? So no, it's just helped me get to where I am, and it's helped me make all the connections that I've made of my own. I really would take it back to teaching myself how to dress, and Dakota's helped me a lot with that, and I've made kind of my own style. I love the custom suits and shirts, and here, this one we made is a short sleeve linen shirt. He made this, so I can take off this jacket, and it's a very casual outfit.
Yep,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, that varies pushing it, but sure, it's much more casual.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's ways you can do it. But it takes time to build it all up. You know, it really does. So it takes serious confidence. And that's what's made me stand out in real estate. There's no other realtor in town that's like me. There's just not. There's a lot of lots of realtors that sell more real estate than me, and that's fine, but they don't have what I have. They just don't. They don't have the style. They won't get invited to things that I get invited to.
Sure.
They can't travel to places that I travel to. They can't. And I'm like, even the realtors that sell way more than me, they just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I have something that no other realtor in this town has. And it's like this style, I could go sell in LA or Miami like that.
Yep.
I think about it all the time. Those markets don't excite, even though, yes, they're much more exciting than here, you'd say, on average.
You have to learn a whole new city.
Exactly. Meet new people. And I'm not opposed to that, but I need a good framework and, you know, a certain money saved up just to make that jump.
Yeah.
I'm more leaning towards, like, where I was just at in Florida, kind of that Destin Panhandle. I like that market a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That 30A. You have a lot of money going down there from the Midwest and the Southern states. And I like that. It's a little bit more, it's a little chiller than Miami.
Yeah.
But you have beautiful beaches. It's a great escape. And I like the Caribbean islands. I really do. I liked where I was at, the St. Bart's market. I mean, that is,
they, you have to worry about hurricanes on there though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once a year. Yeah. Same with Florida.
Yeah.
You know, it's not any different.
I guess you're just on an island, though. You can't, like, leave, go anywhere. I guess you got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, but luckily you get a warning nowadays.
Sure.
Right? I mean, if you got that type of money, you just fly.
You leave. Yeah, you leave. Yeah.
It's all
you're not worried about it.
It's all insured. Yeah. You know? That's late summer when that happens. And I like Europe, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, I do want to be that traveling international realtor. And to do that, you have to dress pretty well.
Sure.
So people like look at me now, they're like, how are you at where you're at? Well, I'm like, well, you know, it was a lot of effort and I dress well and I present myself well. Most people in St. Louis just don't.
Yeah.
So it's like they can, you know, they're like, they might look at me and be like, how do you get here? How do you do this? Well, not because my family doesn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, it's not, but it's just bold and different, you know, and it's, I think it's really important, but I also love it. Again, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just love it.
I originally bought my first suit, when I started in sales because someone told me to.
Yeah.
And I had like, you know, the Men's Warehouse bullshit for like a year or two. And I was like 23 and I, you know, I went and bought a Men's Warehouse suit and it fit like shit. Mm-hmm. It looked fucking awful.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, that's how it's supposed to fit. And so I went home. I did, like I do, way too much research into the fit, the fabrics, you know, bespoke. Is it glued? Like everything down to, and I understood now that I was completely fucking up.
Yeah.
And so I went back to square one, like went to Suit Supply, bought a nice suit.
It's a good starting place.
Yeah, and start there because they'll actually take care of you. And the suits are, you know, you could obviously go custom or go bespoke. It's going to cost quite a bit more if you get something.
I wouldn't, probably not your first suit.
Sure.
Yeah, I would go get something.
You got to figure out what you like.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. I think Suit Supply is a great starting point.
Yes.
The price point is like $600 to $800, yeah. Something like that. It's getting more expensive, obviously.
It is, yeah.
But so is everything.
Yeah.
So again, you pick your battles, you prioritize.
My biggest problem is, I don't know if you have this problem, I have an ass. Mm-hmm. So literally me fitting in a normal suit pant is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
So I have to, literally now I'm at the point where I just have to get custom because I can't go off the rack.
Some people are like that.
And a lot of the time you can't mix and match.
Yeah.
So it's like if you get a 40 in a jacket, you can't get 36 pants.
Right.
Which I need literally just for all the fabric that's in that area.
Right.
And Suit Supply, like many others, I still feel like that's why I love Dakota. He's like, you know, high waisted, shit needs to fit you well. Where majority of the time, even now, I don't know, just suit pants just still for the most part don't fit people how they should.
Yeah. You really, once you go custom, it's hard to go back too. It is pricey.
It is.
Obviously. Yeah. You know, I'd just say, you know, to most guys, I'd make one. Start with one, make a navy or a gray.
Mm-hmm.
Probably navy is your most versatile color.
100%,
you make one navy suit,
mm-hmm.
you can wear that to, you know, everything. Job interviews, dates, most important one.
Yes.
You dress, if you wear that on a date, you are 10 steps ahead of most guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, job interviews, you know, weddings, funerals, whatever. You could wear that one navy custom suit 50 times in a day or 50 times a year easily. So it's worth it. Once you do it, you'll see the fit. You're going to see the value. It'll last forever too. So
that's what I'm saying. So I, you know, with all my custom suits, I can go back and say I've worn that 500 times.
Yeah.
It's like,
it'll last forever.
It costs. Yeah. So at this point already, and I know I'm still going to wear it for a long time, it's $1 a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it.
Yeah. It's just prioritizing. Most people just say it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yep.
And it's like, well,
it's expensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
it's an investment in yourself.
Exactly. It's to me, I'm like, you don't really believe in yourself if you're not willing to make the jump.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I know a younger realtor I was talking to, and he's like, well, I'm not where I want to be at body wise. He's like, I want to lose some weight. And it's like, well, I understand that. Cause once you do it, if you make too big of a shift, all of a sudden,
then it's a pain.
Yeah. So that is, you'd have to be pretty happy with where you're at on a physique level, but once you're there, if you're there, you feel like you're at where you want to be, or you're not going to change, then just pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Buy one, you know, and then you maybe buy a second one, and then just get some shirts and ties. You can kind of mix. You can mix and match.
Yep.
You know. So, anyways, I'm not trying to. That's Dakota's show, right?
Sure,
he and I are good friends, and I've been one of his biggest supporters. I think
I'll be there next week.
Yeah, check it out. Just pull the trigger on one, you know? I mean, if you can pull it off, and
if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have a suit, go get a suit.
Yeah.
Last question I have for you before we get out of here. Black suits. Do you have one?
I have two.
Do you like black suits?
I have a black suit and I have a black
jacket. You're a little bit tanner than me, but most white people, I feel like, just look like shit in a black suit.
If you do it right. I mean, navy I would get first.
Yeah.
I
don't have black. I can't.
I feel like I've been seeing a lot of like black on black.
I don't know. There's something about black that just like I feel like I look awful in it with my white skin. It just makes me look like I just look like shit. I can't pull. Black's the only color I can't pull off.
Then I wouldn't try to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, navy's a little bit more considered. Navy's like the color that everyone. It's just the most versatile, most like respectable, just professional, but also can look very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would get navy first. That's kind of the first one. Navy, gray, get a tan.
Tan, yeah.
Brown, you know, maybe black fifth. Mm-hmm. And then you get more fun after that.
Yep.
Those are probably your core colors. And I've got a green, I've got a blue, I've got, you know, you kind of go on and on and on from there.
Yep.
But you don't, do you need that many suits? Not necessarily. No, yeah. Not really. You really, if you just had one or two, if every guy in St. Louis had one custom suit.
Just one nice suit.
Yeah, one, that would make a huge difference.
100%.
I feel like once you get your first one, though, you get kind of bit by the bug.
You do, because then you want more.
You definitely
right?
do.
But I think if you had two or three even,
I've had Eric
solid.
And Adam
that's pretty solid
coaching me for the past few months over. How to get better suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way to take
Start
it up
into,
you gotta get custom.
You gotta go custom.
Yeah, at some point you just gotta go custom.
Yeah.
And it's pricey, but again, just priorities and you know what makes the most sense.
Also looking at fabrics, that's a nice thing about Suit Supply. You can go custom at Suit Supply
you can,
too, but it's not like the nice thing is there, they have good fabrics and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's still a stepping stone like anything else.
Right.
All right, before we get out of here. Where can people find you if they want to talk to you, they want to hit you up? Where can they find you?
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook, Christian Monet, my name. So Instagram is just my first name underscore last name. Facebook, it's my name. I'm on LinkedIn too. Pretty public. I mean, Google me and everything's out there, you know. So, you know, I try to be very authentic and just do my thing. And it's a little bit different. Not everyone's going to like me. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't please everyone. If you are, you're not going to be exciting. You're not going to be different. It's taken me years to figure that out. You know, it really
you don't
did.
Want everyone to like you.
No, I don't. And it's just, you know, not, you know, you got to be yourself, right?
Yep.
You're always going to have, you know, I don't even like to say haters, but there's just going to be people that just won't vibe with you, and that's fine. There's 8 billion people in the world now.
Yes, there's a lot.
Yeah, you know, you'll be fine, you know. So that's what it's taken me years. I'm not saying I'm not definitely not perfect, but just do your thing, you know. Not everyone's going to wear a custom suit.
Yep.
But if we had more people step it up here, I think that would make a big difference.
I would love to just be driving around and see people in suits.
Yeah.
I don't see hardly anyone. Our office is out here in Creve Coeur, and I don't see, you know, even in all of City Place, I hardly see anyone wearing a suit.
Yeah. It's kind of the Midwest standard that's dropped.
Yeah.
Can it come back? I think it can.
I think it can.
Yeah.
It'll be guys like us on this podcast bringing it back.
Yeah.
I feel
really
bad for not
that you didn't
I really
wear a
feel
suit
bad
today.
For not wearing a suit today. Like I feel I feel like a schlub now. This is terrible. All right. So, word of the wise, go get yourself a nice fitted suit. Don't go to Men's Warehouse. You know, Neiman Marcus, there's a bunch of good places in St. Louis that you can actually go and get a decent suit and actually look good.
It's all about the fit, though.
It's true.
You just got to get it tailored.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be an expensive suit or super nice fabric, but get your stuff tailored. You know,
that's most important.
It should never be baggy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be cut a certain length. And I think the fit's more important than anything.
That's true.
So, you know, it helps me stand out. Again, in real estate, do most people dress up? Nope. But I know who I would hire if I was looking for a realtor.
Yeah.
I'm going to hire like a younger dude that's dressed super well.
Yeah.
I just would.
Yeah.
I mean, there are tons of beautiful girls that do it, but I feel like, you know, that kind of got overplayed a few years ago.
Sure.
And it's like, unless they got to know what they're talking about. You know? So there are plenty of beautiful women that know exactly what they're talking about. And like I said, I mean, St. Louis, they run the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to get up to all the girls' level right now.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks, Christian, for coming on.
Of course.
It was a great topic. Love talking today. It's fun. I know. Chris always loves, and Matt back there always loves to hear us talk about suits. So, all right. That's all the time we have for today. However, we will be back next week, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. New episode, new guest, and more of myself here and Chris. If you're watching live or later, we said something wrong, said something you hate, which I'm sure we did. We upset some people out there talking about suits.
Good.
I leave a comment. Tell, you know, send us a photo of what you dress like on a day-to-day basis. It probably looks like shit.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, we recorded this episode at Half Coast Studios. Look at this new mic stand here at Half Coast Studios. Oh, my God. It's a low-profile mic stand. Better camera angles coming in here. If you want, that's right. If you want to record a podcast in person, Half Coast Studios, located in Clayton, go to halfcoaststudios.com or just Google St. Louis Podcast Studio. Your one and only Vibe Media built that website, and it ranks number one, so feel free and do that too. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We'll see everyone next week. Peace.
Hey there, St. Louis Podcast listeners. We've got some exciting news from our sponsor, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Lee. Mark Lee of Farmers Insurance is recruiting agency owners here in St. Louis.
That's right, Garrett, and everyone knows what Farmers Insurance is, and if they don't, they will now.
Yes, it's kind of a household name. That said, as many of you know, a large part of our audience is made up of badass business owners, entrepreneurs, and top-producing sales professionals with an open mind like yourself. Farmers Insurance is currently searching for driven individuals who aspire to own their own business or already own their own business and want to add another income stream to join the Farmers Insurance brand and own their own insurance agency.
This is a stellar opportunity to build your own insurance agency from scratch, take over an existing agency, or if you're just a slow roller, we know you, the guys out there and ladies, get paid to train under an existing successful agency owner before starting your own.
Holy shit, Eric. That means that whether you have experience as a business owner or you've never heard the word business before in your life, there's a pathway to owning your own business through Farmers Insurance Agency led by Mark Lee.
That's right. You can become a Farmers Insurance business owner even if you've been homeless in the past, just like you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've ever dreamt of being your own boss, building a team under a reputable brand, and making a difference in your community by offering top-tier auto, home, and commercial insurance to consumers and businesses in your area, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the godlike man himself, Mark Lee, has the perfect opportunity for you.
Visit insurancecareerstl.com to speak with Mark Lee, the district manager of Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, to become a Farmers Insurance agency owner today.
Did you hear that, St. Louis? Go visit insurancecareerstl.com. Insurancecareerstl.com. That is I-N-S-U-R-A-N-C-E. Career, CAREERSTL.com.
To become a business owner today, again, one more time, visit InsuranceCareerSTL, as in St. Louis.com today, right now, this second, or reach out to us at stlouispodcast.com and we'll introduce you to Mark Lee ourselves. And I promise he won't spell out insurance and career to you.